Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you were paying attention to the introit this morning, then you noticed these words: "Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindnesses, for they are from of old. Let not my enemies triumph over me. God of Israel, deliver us out of all our troubles." Now think about it for a moment. Why do we ask God to remember anything? Can he forget anything? He isn't like us. We easily forget. And not just the little things in our daily lives. We forget the big things too. Like the infinite power of God's Word. Like God's commandments, like God's promises, like the Lord's mercy and goodness, like the real spiritual battle that is going on between the church and her members on the one hand and the demons on the other. We may forget, but the Lord doesn't forget, and yet we ask Him to remember many times in the Psalms. To remember His tender mercies and His loving kindnesses. What we're really asking then is for the Lord to help us remember those things, and that the Lord would help us now against our enemies in our troubles, as He has so faithfully done in the past. He will help, because you can be sure the Lord does remember. You remember from last week how God the Father sent help to His Son in the wilderness when He was being tempted by the devil. He'll send help to you too against the devil's temptations. But as we see in today's gospel, the devil doesn't stop at tempting. He and his demons are active in the world in other ways too, including tormenting people physically. He has been given room both to tempt and to torment mankind since the fall into sin. He's restrained by God's power. He isn't all-powerful. He can't take hold of believers in Christ as long as they continue to take refuge in Christ by faith, because where the Holy Spirit dwells, there the devil cannot dwell, even though he can still tempt. We'll hear more about that in next week's gospel. But for today, we see how Satan, or one or more of his demon allies, had taken hold of a daughter of a Canaanite woman and was tormenting her. Now, it just so happened that Jesus was in the territory of that Canaanite woman visiting her country, the first and the only time Jesus stepped outside of the borders of Israel, except when he was taken off to Egypt as a young child. The Gentile woman heard that he was nearby, so she hurried off to find him, and when she found him, she prayed, "O Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is dreadfully tormented by a demon." It's as if she had prayed, "Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindnesses, for they are from of old. Let not my enemies triumph over me. God of Israel, deliver us out of all our troubles." Now, this Gentile woman was very different from the Gentiles who do not know God, as St. Paul referred to them in today's epistle. If we were to list all the people in Israel up to this point who had called Jesus by the title Son of David, that is, recognizing Him and confessing Him as the Christ, the promised descendant of David who would come, it would be a very short list. Two men in Israel, to be specific, two blind men who had called out to Jesus already, "Son of David, have mercy on us." After this account, there would be two more men openly calling out to Jesus, Son of David, also blind men, as it were. And then finally on Palm Sunday, when Jesus arrived for Holy Week, finally the crowds of Jerusalem would acclaim him, Hosanna to the Son of David. But outside of Israel, this woman is the only one in history, until after the day of Pentecost, of course. So it was a remarkable confession of faith, showing that she must have heard enough about the God of Israel, enough of the Old Testament scriptures, and enough about Jesus to put together that he was not only the Christ promised to Israel, but the Christ who would also be a light to the Gentiles and their Savior too. With a confession of faith like that, you would have thought that Jesus would have given her what she asked immediately. But he had other plans for her and for his disciples and for us. He did not say a word in reply, which seemed, at least for a moment, like the Lord didn't remember his mercies and his loving kindnesses. In fact, it often looks that way, as the Lord often doesn't help right away as soon as we ask for it. It looks like the Lord isn't listening. It looks like he's forgotten. But that's impossible, because the Lord doesn't change. He isn't fickle. In him there are no shifting shadows, as James puts it. So there must be another explanation for his momentary silence. The woman kept crying out. We know that because the disciples of Jesus complained about it. They came and begged him, send her away. She's crying out after us. They might better have prayed for the woman. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindnesses, for they are from of old. Even so, Jesus ignored their request. He simply answered the woman, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Again, it seems like a rather shocking statement to our modern ears, where everything has become about race and racial sensitivity. How do the Holy Scriptures help us to understand why Jesus would say this? Well, remember, in the history of the world, there has only been one privileged race, and that was the race descended from Israel, and only then until the coming of Christ to Israel. Of all the nations, God chose Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their descendants to be his. And he made some very special, very specific promises to Israel in the Old Testament. Listen today just to this one from the prophet Ezekiel in chapter 34. For thus says the Lord God, indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel. Thus they shall know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and they, the house of Israel, are my people, says the Lord God. That was God's covenant faithfulness to the people of Israel, whom he did choose out of all the nations to be brought into a covenant with him, to receive his word, to receive the prophets, to bear His name in the world, and finally to receive His Christ and to be sought by the Christ when He came, as a shepherd searches for His lost sheep wherever they are. The fact is, at His first coming, Christ was not sent to evangelize the world or to help the world with its problems. He was only sent to Israel in fulfillment of God's covenant with Israel. But that doesn't mean that His coming only had significance for Israel, or that the help of Christ would exclude the Gentiles in the future. On the contrary, He commanded His apostles after the ascension, or after His resurrection and before His ascension, to preach the gospel to all nations. And right here, in this encounter with the Gentile woman, He provides a solid justification for that plan, an undeniable example of genuine faith. Faith that shines in this encounter more brightly than it had ever shined in Israel. She came and fell down before Him, saying, "Lord, help me." But He answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, but the dogs do eat from the crumbs that fall from their master's table." It's as if she had said the words of the introit, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed." Lest anybody take offense at Jesus' comparison of this woman and her daughter to a dog, don't worry, He would have made the exact same comparison to you and to me and to anybody else who was a non-Israelite. For as much as people affectionately refer to their pets as members of the family, to be real, to be honest, a dog has no real place in the family, no relation to the father of the family, no inheritance in the family, and certainly far less worth than the children of the family. In that sense, all men since the fall into sin are like dogs begging at God's table, with no real place in the family, no relation to the father of the family, no inheritance in the family, and worth far, far less than the child of God named Jesus. But God's love for the human race caused Him to send His Son into human flesh to bear our sins on the cross, to reconcile sinners to God through faith in Him. To those who believed in Him, St. John writes in his Gospel, He gave the right to become children of God. And just as God gave the status of children to Old Testament Israel, so He now gives the status of children to all who believe in Christ Jesus, which now included the Gentile woman who knelt at His feet. "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The demon has no power to hold those whom Christ sets free. But why is Jesus so moved by this woman's faith to praise it as great, which He almost never did? Because she doesn't claim anything before God, as if it were her right or her privilege. Her faith is sincere, it's humble, it's persistent, it's unabashedly hopeful, even when it looks like God won't do anything to help. In fact, that's when faith shines the brightest, when we don't see with our eyes God's friendly face, when it looks like we've been forgotten by Him and yet still trust that the Lord does remember. And He does. The Lord remembers. Every word He has spoken, every promise He has ever made, even if you were just still dogs begging at the master's table, he would remember you with the crumbs of his mercy and love, which are more than enough. But now, through baptism into Christ Jesus and through faith in him, he has joined you to his beloved church and has made you his dear children. And he certainly remembers his children. As he says through the prophet Isaiah, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. The devil will hold on to this world for a while longer, and it will look like he has won. Scripture makes that clear enough. It will look like God has forgotten us, like he isn't listening, like truth is lost, like joy is gone, like hope is dead. But then the Holy Spirit takes this gospel again of the Canaanite woman and of the Lord Jesus, urging us through her example to keep the faith, to hope in Christ, because in spite of all the world's bluster and the devil's schemes, the Lord does remember. And when the moment comes for him to step in against the devil and in support of his beloved Christians, no power in the universe will be able to stand in his way. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.